going to go to a different portion of Scripture that I would not normally turn to, and I'm doing something tonight that I tell my preacher boys don't do, but I'm going to start with a springboard verse and then go into other verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I want us to look at two verses. Do you normally stand when you read the Word of God? Would you just stand? We'll read two verses. I'll have prayer and we'll get with the message. I'll have you out at a good time tonight. I'm not a long-winded preacher normally. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. I want to use one phrase in verse number 15. I will pray with the understanding also. I want to preach on this message tonight, or this topic. I will pray with understanding. Or how to pray for your missionaries. Father, I pray now that you would help me as I preach your word tonight. Lord, I am new to this church and they're new to this preacher. But Lord, we're not new to the Bible. And we're not new to prayer. And we're not new to missions. And so, Father, I pray the Spirit of God would do a work that we cannot do. And Lord, we've planned and we've prepared. But Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work. And Lord, we do not want to plan you out of anything. So, Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, speak to my own heart as I preach this. In Jesus' name we ask it. And Father, may we go to our knees and go to our prayer closets different than we have before in this matter, praying for our missionaries. In Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come. Thank you so much. Thank you for your kindness, all the kindnesses that you've shown us. It's been a blessing just to be here, to hear the music and all that is happened so far. Thank you, missionaries, for your sacrifice. And as I said before, I feel like a tumbleweed among giant oaks. Thank you for your service. How important is it to pray for your missionaries? How important is that? Very important. We need to pray for our missionaries. By the way, the letters that they send us, they're called prayer letters for a reason. We need to read them and pray for their needs that they list. Do you know that the New Testament, 9 out of 27 books, are basically prayer letters sent to churches? They're missionary letters sent to churches that Paul was writing saying, here's what I need you to do. I need you to pray for me. It's very important. By the way, we foolishly oftentimes pray, Lord, just bless the missionaries. I don't want God to bless all the missionaries. I don't want God to bless the Jehovah's Witness missionaries, do you? I don't want God to bless the Mormon missionaries, do you? I don't want God to bless the Catholic missionaries or the charismatic missionaries. Hey, I want God to bless the missionaries that we support and I know and their needs. And so we need to pray. This is a vital matter in our lives. We must get a hold of this idea of praying for our missionaries. It's not just something good to do. It's something that is necessary to do. It's vital that we pray for our missionaries. We have to. I mean, get a hold of this thing. Make it a part of your life. And when we start, as we're starting this conference, I hope you'll take your card and pray over what God would have you do. Pastor and I were talking, and I said, if there's any specialty that I have, it's raising money for missions. And that's what I'll preach on this week. And he said, I just want God to do whatever, I just want our folks to do what God wants them to do. And as he said that, the Lord dealt with my heart and said, you know, you ought to start out with a message on prayer. Because that's what we need. We need to pray. We need to seek God's face. A little less time in television. More time on our knees. Little less time doing what we want to do and more time spending time with Him so that we know what He wants us to do on these cards. I guarantee you, if you spend time with God alone this week and say, God, what would you have me to do this? He'll answer that prayer. He'll show you what He wants you to do. How important is to read our prayer letters and pray for our missionaries? Make a list of your missionaries. If you haven't already, make a list of your missionaries and pray for them. But listen carefully. Pray with understanding. Pray with understanding. What do you mean by that, preacher? Now, I'm a simple fellow. I'm not. I don't have a lot of gimmicks. It's just pretty simple. One of our missionaries came into our church several years ago, and when he walked in the back door, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" I mentioned his name, mentioned his wife's name, and I said, "Hey, how you?" And I mentioned the children as they came in, and he said, "You know my children's names?" I said, "Well, of course. I know them because I pray for them every day. I read his name, his wife's name, and all of his children's name every day. I know them. They're like my family." Let me tell you something. If you're investing money into something, you better be interested in it. Amen. We'll talk about that this week. How important is it to read the prayer letters and yet pray with understanding? Now, I understand the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's talking about speaking in tongues and speaking in tongues while you pray. But I thought it was very interesting that Paul put this in verse number 15, "And I will pray with understanding also." We need to pray with understanding with our missionaries. I'll give you four brief points tonight. We'll try to get through it quickly, but let's allow the Lord to work. Amen. First of all, pray for your missionaries that are on deputation. Pray for missionaries that are on deputation. Now, the missionaries that are here tonight, they're veterans. But let me tell you something. It's taking sometimes five years for missionaries to raise their support to get to the field. And part of it is, and I'll speak about it tomorrow night, part of it is we have the money, we're just not spending it properly. But part of it is we're not serious about praying for them. And not praying for with understanding. How about praying for those missionaries that are on deputation? Pray that they get new meetings. Pray for meetings for them. You know how hard sometimes missionaries will call, and we have as many missionaries in as we possibly can. Very mission-minded, missions budget of $100,000 a year for several years now and all that. But missionaries call, and they're taking 3 or 4 years. We're not praying for them like we should. Lord, please open the doors, open the windows of heaven that these missionaries can get going. Go to Philippians chapter 4, if you would, please, and verse number 14. Philippians 4 and verse 14. Paul, I think, was oftentimes frustrated about some things in his deputation and his work. But verse number 14, chapter 4, verse number 14, we need to pray for meetings, for more meetings for the those that are on deputation. Chapter 4 and verse number 14, it says, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions." He says, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." Paul said, "You know, I had a lot of promises, but not everybody came through." How many of you missionaries have heard preachers or people say, "Hey, we're going to support you"? What happened? What happened? Did we get disinterested in missions? Did we not pray like we should? Paul said, "Hey, nobody supported me but you folks." He said, "I'm sure he had other people say that he would, but they didn't. And you're the only ones that did. Thank God that you did. Thank God that they supported." By the way, chapter 4, verse number 19, this is a missions promise. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That is a missions promise. That's a promise to the church at Philippi who supported Paul. Nobody supported me. The disappointment, the setbacks that they have on deputation. I've talked to them so many times. By the way, they need to receive spiritual support as well. Spiritual support on their deputation. It's not an easy road to go across the country all the time raising money and doing what they're doing. We need to pray for them in their deputation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 6. Pray for them in their deputation. 1 Corinthians 12, 6 says this. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 12, 6. "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you know these missionaries, as they travel, they give their story and they preach their message, they get empty and need the grace of God to come back on them. Preacher, I appreciate the opportunity to preach to the missionaries. Let them just listen. Not that necessarily they couldn't speak and they could far speak better than I. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes missionaries just need their battery charged. They just need to hear, get up and go. God's in it and God's for you. He's with you. Go and do the job. Amen. A friend of mine, Jeff Demers, South Africa. We were in a missions conference. He was on deputation. His wife is back home in Ohio. We were just about ready to close the invitation, and all of a sudden he just got this funny look on his face. He hit the altar, started praying. Later, after the service, I said, Brother Jeff, what's wrong? He said, I got to get to a phone. He ran to the office. He called. He couldn't get a hold of his wife. I said, what is wrong? He said, God dealt my heart. He said, "My something's wrong with my wife. I said, how do you know that? He said, the Lord just dealt with my heart. And sure enough, the very moment that he was on his knees praying for his wife, she was in an accident back in Ohio. See, they need our prayers while they drive, while they travel in deputation. Number two, let's pray not only for the missionaries on deputation, but let's pray for the missionaries that are on the field for the first term. See, each one of these missionaries have processes that they go through. And beside each name, you need to write deputation or write first-term missionary. First-term missionaries have some very unusual situations they have to deal with. They are now faced with a culture that they've not used to. They're faced, listen carefully, they live in a land that isn't their country. It is not their language or culture. And most often, the people whom God called them to reach doesn't even want them there. Language, culture, loneliness. Loneliness. They just want to fellowship with somebody that speaks English and knows the Bible, or at least loves God a little bit. Amen. Well, go to Exodus chapter 4. Is it okay if we use the Bible a little bit tonight? Exodus chapter 4. I'm going to give you another idea that's not commonly preached, but I believe it's correct. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am of slow speech and of a slow tongue. Everybody thinks that Moses stuttered. I don't think that's what Moses' problem was. Moses grew up in Pharaoh's court. Moses grew up speaking Egyptian. Now he's got to go back to the Hebrew people and speak Hebrew. Probably spoke it with a heavy Egyptian accent. Don't you think? And he's got to go back to the Hebrew people and tell them, hey, come follow me. Wait a minute. You got that Egyptian. What kind of Hebrew are you talking there? Look at verse number 11. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Hath not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, and send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? Levites, they studied the language. They knew the language well. Aaron was excellent in Hebrew. Moses, not so much. But God called Moses. And so they have a language barrier they have to face. And everyone that has spoken a foreign language, and even what we would say English in Australia or English in Wales, or it's not the same English that we speak here. Amen. They have language barriers that they face all the time, and the cultural barriers. And so they have to fight through that, and they have to. You know that many missionaries go for the first term and they never come back. They go, return, and never go back for the second term. I don't know what the statistics are. I went to the websites today to try and find the statistics of missionaries that go for the first term and not come back. Let me just say this. It's not part of the notes, but I'm going to throw it in here. You need to pray for your young people to marry properly. What if a young man gets called to the mission field and his wife or his future wife doesn't want to go? What does he do? I met a man, one of our students. I was a school principal for 6 years before I took the pastorate there in St. Louis. One of our young men that was a student of mine married a young gal. I never met her. I was gone by the time they got married. But he was called to a foreign field. They were married, got on a plane, went to the foreign field, were there for a month, and she said, "If we stay here, I'm leaving you." They got on a plane and came back, and he's never fulfilled his calling. I was in a missions conference 2 weeks ago in Indiana. A man going to Scotland, he told the story about how God started dealing with his heart about Scotland and how he wanted to go to Scotland. Why he'd want to go to Scotland, I don't know. Only God would call you there. Amen. But he's going to go there, and he told the story about how he was dating this girl, and he went back to the girl and he said, "Hey, God's called me to be a missionary. I'm going to Scotland." It was a Bible college. I won't mention which one, but he was in Bible college, and he said, "I'm going to Scotland. I'm going to be a missionary." She said, "No, I'm not going to do that." He dropped her. He's a good missionary, amen? He dropped her. He said, "If you're not going to go, I can't help that. I'm going to go where God wants me to go." I'm telling you, this really has nothing to do with first-term missionaries, but if a person doesn't start out right and doesn't have the right foundation, and if they're not married to the right one, then it could be havoc all their life. First-term missionaries, pray for the ones that are on first term. Is it possible that Moses had not mastered the Hebrew tongue? Verse 10, the word tongue is used, as well as Aaron had, and misspoke Hebrew with a heavy Egyptian accent. The rate of missionary dropouts has decreased because so few are going. But the truth of the matter is, many go and never go back the second term. These missionaries that are veterans could tell you, could list the ones that have gone or said they'd go and never made it. When I was in India with one of our men, we have several Indian families in our church. I led an Indian man to Christ several years ago. He was a very strict Hindu, prayed to his guru every day, went to temple, whole nine yards. Amazing story about how he got saved, walked the aisle, trusted Christ as his Savior. God called him to be a missionary. All right, sent him to Bible college, finished, came back. We went out on a survey trip. He said to me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "I'm either going to be the best missionary you've ever seen or I'll be the worst failure you've ever seen." And the latter was true. He stayed less than a year. By the way, let's not be too hard on him. The week that he arrived in India, his brother was beaten to death in a political battle that they go through in another state. I mean, you talk about pressure. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Your missions list and your missionaries, it's not just a good thing. It's a vital thing that you pray for your missionaries. It's vital. They must have our prayer support. They must. Number three, we need to pray for, put down missionary, put deputation, missionary, first term. Number three, pray for the missionaries that are veterans. These veteran missionaries. Well, I'm telling you, Brother Moses, you're going on my prayer list. I'm going to pray for you. Pray. When's the last time you've missed a meal just because God impressed your heart about praying for a missionary? Go to Ephesians chapter 6, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Paul is writing, of course, to the people there at Ephesus, and he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Verse 19, and for me, he says, now here's what I want you to pray for me about. Listen carefully. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Time out. Paul, the apostle, the great apostle, you want us to pray for you so that you would have boldness? I never saw Paul shy or backward. Can I tell you, the best of missionaries need us to pray for them. The best of missionaries. Pray for boldness. Pray for boldness, that the mystery of the gospel be made known. Verse 20, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Twice he says, please pray for me that I can speak the gospel. Let me tell you something. These missionaries aren't out there having some kind of vacation. They're trying to get the gospel to people that need to hear it. That's what they're doing. And that's what we need to pray for. God help them. I don't know how Brother Moses is going to do it. I don't know how Brother Reisner is going to do it in Russia. I don't know how Brother Quaid is going to do it in Wales. But Lord, please help them. Help them to know what an amazing testimony. How he had to change his message and a different approach. And God used that. Somebody was praying for him. Say amen right there. Amen. Veterans. Hey, listen. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 14. Now we exalt your brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And the very last thing he says, brethren, pray for us. Man, we need your prayers. We need your prayers. Folks, come and tell you something. I'm just a guest preacher, so I can make you mad. I'm leaving Monday. Too often our prayer time is this much about us and this much about the missionaries. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You could put Brother Moses' name right next to that verse right there. And that he may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Pray for the veterans. I have a brother-in-law that's been in Costa Rica for 35 years, married to my twin sister. My brother-in-law has had other people take pictures of his work and say that it's theirs and so forth. But you think all missionaries are on the up and up? Not so. Charismatic missionary take a picture of people getting saved and put it in their slides or take off and say it's their work. Happens all the time. Or the national that they've trained for 10 years, all of a sudden turns and decides he's not going to be a Baptist anymore. He's going to be charismatic. Turns the whole church that you just worked for 10 years, turned against you, and what are you going to do? Tonight at our church in St. Louis suburb, a veteran missionary is preaching. I am sorry that we missed each other. His name is Keith Stensis. Keith Stensis is the son of Brian Stensis. Brian Stensis and his family went to Uganda, Africa many years ago, built a work. Brother Stensis has three sons and a daughter. All of them at one time were missionaries in Africa. Andrew now is pastoring in Ohio. But Keith and Matt and Alicia is all there, are all there in Uganda. Matt Matt's wife, Keela, gave birth to a little boy. They brought the little boy home. The little boy wasn't breathing well. They had to take her back to the hospital. Matt was in the Capitol trying to get some paperwork fixed, and so Keith, whose wife Sally had just given birth to a little baby girl, I think it was, she was home, and so Keith was called and said, "Would you take my wife to the my son to the hospital?" Say, he rushes his daughter, his sister-in-law, and nephew to the hospital. He's waiting there. They figure it's just a routine checkup. The doctor comes out and says, "I'm sorry, we couldn't do anything for Micah. He's gone." And Keith, who is husband whose wife just gave birth, has to now console his sister-in-law and call his brother on the phone and tell him that his newborn son just died. They won't bury him, and so the government won't, so they take the body back home, and there they have in their house the body of Brian and Sherry Stensis, have the body of one grandson in one room who is dead, and the body of another grandson who is alive. I have no idea how people handle that except by the grace of God. Folks, we have to pray for our missionaries. My brother-in-law, Ron, is not a weepy fella. He's not a crybaby. He doesn't cry at the drop of a hat, and very seldom does he cry. Their second term in Costa Rica, he called me bawling, not crying, bawling. Ed, I said, "Ron, slow down. What's wrong? What's wrong? Is there anything wrong with eating? No, everything's okay. What's wrong? What's wrong?" He said, "I don't know if I can make it anymore. I just don't know if I can make it anymore." A missionary's wife had gotten discouraged, and she drank, she tried to kill herself. She drank rat poisoning. It did not kill her immediately. And she lingered for days. And all of the missionaries were crushed. Folks, let me tell you something. I've learned this by watching Daniel and many other prophets in the Bible. The older you get, the trials still come. And sometimes harder than when you were younger. Pray for your veteran missionaries. And the last one is this. Pray for your missionaries when they return on furlough. Beside each missionary name, put either deputation, first term, veteran, or furlough. Will they find the same church using the same Bible with the same standard, with the same passion for the Lord when they come back? Are they going to find the same church as exciting as it was? And by the way, you have something special here. A young man and a veteran pastor, and young people here mixed with mature folks as well. Amen. You have something special here. There's so many churches that I see across the country who have people older than I am, and that's the majority in the church. You have something special here. But will they come back and they find Wooden Valley Baptist Church just as excited as they were before, just as passionate for Christ as before, just as concerned about bringing someone to Jesus as they did before? One of the most encouraging things to a missionary is when they walk in the door and people are singing and they shake their hand and they say, "Man, this is alive. It's not dead." That's encouraging to them. A dear missionary friend of mine came back and he said, "Brother Bragg," of all things he noticed this. He said, "I can't believe the number of storage units that you have in the country." I said, "What?" He said, "Storage units." He said, "What is everybody storing over here?" I said, "Man, we got stuff. If our garage and basement won't hold it, we rent a storage unit." It's amazing what missionaries see when they come back. Will they find this church praying for them? David Livingston said this, "Sympathy is no substitute for action." I don't feel sorry for missionaries. They're doing God's will. They're the heroes. They're on the front line. But let me tell you something. we best do our part and hold the ropes in this matter of prayer. I'll read a story and then I'll close. Incident is told of a couple after bidding farewell to their home country church as they were about to leave for an African field called the White Man's Grave. The husband said, "My wife and I have a strange dread in going. We feel much as if we're going down into a pit. We're willing to take the risk and go if you, our home church, will promise to hold the ropes." One and all promised. Less than 2 years passed when the wife and the little one God had given them succumbed to the dreaded fever. Soon the husband realized his days too were numbered. Not waiting to send word home of his coming, he started back at once and arrived at the hour of Wednesday prayer meeting. He slipped in unnoticed, taking a back seat. At the close of the meeting, he went forward, and awe came over all the people, for death was written on his face. He said, "I am your missionary. My wife and child are buried in Africa, and I have come home to die. This evening, I listened anxiously as you prayed for some mention, of your missionary to see if you were going to keep your promise, but in vain. You prayed for everything connected with yourselves and your home church, but forgot your missionary. I see now why I am a failure as a missionary. It is because you have failed to hold the ropes." Folks, I really would like to see us dedicate ourselves, renew a dedication to praying for our missionaries. We need to pray for them. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.